Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, it's Thursday. I'm a new dad. It's not 5 o'clock yet. I can't drink, and this sucks.
Dude, I'm so bummed.
Yeah.
About, like, anybody who's listened to this to the show, like,
this was the thing
I've been watching Boogie Tape for the last month. I had a video that was gonna come out on Friday publicly that was like 18 minutes long, mm-hmm. mostly on Boogie. And just because I had really become fascinated with, and he was the guy where I've been saying he's the X factor, right? Like, so first, before we get into the Lakers stuff, I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's where I wanted to start.
This is some bullshit, man. Like, yeah. First it was the Achilles, then the quad, now the ACL, all on the left leg. Like, dude never got his second, like, big-time contract, right? Like, the mm-hmm. one that you sign when you're actually an unrestricted free agent, you're one of the best players in the game. And just to, like, work so hard to come back. Like, that's part of the tape that I've been doing has not just been the on-court stuff, but the, you know, like, his recovery process, the rehab process, and just so grueling. And there's so many really understandable, remember Andrew Bynum? Like, Bynum eventually was like, man, screw it. Like, yeah. Like, with all of the physical, like, you have to work so hard.
And it's so lonely.
Yeah.
You're not a part of the team while you're recovering. You're off.
And there's nothing anybody can say. There's nothing anybody can say to make it better, right? And I just feel awful for him, man.
Yeah, that's where, you know, I woke up, so with this schedule thing, with this child that is eating us out of house and home, Jen and I do this thing now where, because she wants to do the majority of the feeding, as one would expect or would understand with a mother. She wanted to do the majority of the feeding, but I told her, well, hey, you need to get more sleep than these 2 or 3 hour spurts. So why don't I take the midnight and then the 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning feeding, and that way you can sleep through the night and then wake up and you can take the first one, right? So I'm going to bed nowadays at about 3:30 or 4 in the morning, and that means I sleep until about 10. And I woke up, and that was the first thing that I saw, was like notifications from Woj and from Shams. Yeah, he's out. And it was just, it was one of those, I'm still half asleep and you're hoping mm-hmm. that you're just, all right, wake up, you know, all right, wake up, let's see what else is going on out there. But no, that wasn't the case. And you know, it's because of the nature of this industry and this era of watching sports that we're in, right? You get the fantasy ramifications, you get the team-wide ramifications, the NBA ramifications, and you start to get questions almost immediately, like, okay, well, what are the Lakers going to do next? And for me, it was just, with this situation specifically, I wanted to take a quick, deep breath and really feel for the guy, because this really fucking blows. Like, this is so brutal. Knowing everything that this guy has gone through now twice, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing what he's gone through now twice with two just devastating injuries that, you know, when Chuck saw the quad tear, he said, that's what ended my career, right? Everybody knows mm-hmm. when you see a blown Achilles, like, that usually means that's a career ender. Players just aren't the same ever again. And, you know, now you go through this again, and it's another year-long process, and it's going to be one of those things where he hasn't had a team now in quite some time. He probably felt like an outsider on that Warriors team. Mm-hmm. He got traded away from the team that drafted him and went to New Orleans, maybe started to find something close to a home there, had that injury there, comes here to the Lakers and was probably excited to play with this Lakers team, but they aren't the team quite yet. And he's once again now going to be an outsider on a team that is vying for a championship. This just sucks, man. This is such a tough blow for a guy who is polarizing or whatever, but everybody who's covered him closely and paid actual close attention to the guy will say he does have a heart of gold. He is a good dude. His teammates love him. This just sucks. It just sucks. It just does.
But Boogie, what has Boogie been guilty of, right? He's a bit of a hothead. He complains to the refs, right? He can be kind of whiny. All of the stuff that, like, people talk about with Boogie is like a character guy and whatnot. No, he's never been like arrested for doing something bad. Like, dude,
always very active in the community.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, that's always bothered me. And that's a big part of what I was looking forward to rooting for, is like, that's a dude that needed people behind him, right? Like, that to know that, like, you're not hurting anybody. Like, you're going to have support. Like, when somebody tries to be themselves rather than
people's idea.
Then they're going to get crap from people, right? But that's never the type of guy that Boogie is. And I've always been drawn to that part of him. And just to see this, man, it's just so – I'm repeating myself at this point. But
there's nothing else to say. Sad. This fucking sucks. This is just like it's – you know, you and I usually try to outline what we're going to talk about on the show, and I can't. Like, it's – you know, it's hard. We're going to try to move on, and in the next couple of segments we'll talk about, you know, what this means for the Lakers and what this means for the league and options moving forward. But really, like, it's hard to look at this as anything other than – man, fuck this. This is awful. This is just, it just hurts. And
I mean, the risk of this is why he was on the team in the first place, meaning that, like, he wouldn't have been available.
But nobody saw this risk coming.
Right. In fucking August, man. Yeah. Like, pardon my French, but, like, August, man.
Yeah.
Like, who expected to wake up to this news on freaking August 13th or whatever day it is, 12th today, right? Like, come on.
Yeah, he got hurt the day before his birthday.
Yeah. It's August 15th, too. It shows you what day of the week it is. How I always know what day of the week it is.
Hey, yeah. August sucks, period. But
yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick second here. We're going to move on. We're gonna talk about where the Lakers go from here, because this does complicate things. You and I just finished talking about the last time you and I spoke how Boogie, if he is 80% of what he is, makes the roster make a lot more sense. So where do the Lakers go? We'll come back to that. So the immediate response that I saw quite a bit of, and it was a lot of, you know, obviously I know it was all tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, there were a few people out there who were saying that, hey, Dwight Howard's available. Screw all of you. Every single one of you. Like, you guys can kick actual boulders barefooted. Like, step on a Lego. No, Dwight Howard is not going to happen. But my question to you, Pete, though, becomes, do the Lakers... they have one open roster spot. That roster spot was being held for Andre Iguodala in the event that he is eventually, hopefully, bought out. So, do the Lakers, like, where do they go here? You know, what would you, you're given the keys, not what do you think is going to happen. You're given the keys. What direction would you take the Lakers in right now?
I don't know the rules on cutting an injured player. Like, I would not want to leave Boogie in a in a lurch at all, right? Like, where if there is any downside for Boogie to have him cut, right? Like, if you can pay him, he's going to get paid either way. It's a guaranteed contract. Have access to rehab and all of that. Like, if there's a way to make Boogie whole or to be there to support for him, I want them to do that. So that makes my answer a little more, you know, if you're able to do that, I would cut him, right? And look to sign a...
while having all of him the around.
Very right while having him around, and I think there might be rules against that, but I don't know. And probably the best of the imperfect options available right now, in my opinion, is Kenneth Faried. Mm-hmm. I thought he had some good minutes with Houston last year. I don't like the idea of AD and JaVale being the true fives on the team, and that's it. I think that there's some fragility there that I would like to have a third five, and Freed at this point in the NBA, that is the type of player that he is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are other options. Marcin Gortat was a guy the Lakers were talking to toward the end of last year before the Lakers really went down the toilet and they decided that it wasn't, you know, wasn't really worth it to pursue him. Right. You know, they're Amir Johnson. I mean, most of the guys available right now are available for a reason.
Yeah.
I think you're right about Dwight Howard, that bridge is burned, and I'd be very surprised if the Lakers pursued him. But I do think that there's a need there, and I would try to, I probably wouldn't. say Iguodala gets bought out or somebody else gets bought out, then maybe down the line you cut Boogie or someone, or Troy Daniels, right? Mm-hmm. Someone else that
Rajon Rondo
to free up that spot. But that's about where I'm at. How about you?
You didn't see the name that I actually most associate with this opportunity. I think Joakim Noah makes a lot of sense for this.
So he was in
Memphis.
I don't know if you remember this. Well, he was in New York at the same time Rambis was. Mm-hmm. And things did not go well in terms of their divorce, right? I just wonder. I don't know. I just wonder if that's something that where – if Noah is even an option. I would agree with you. Obviously, he doesn't provide any spacing.
Yeah.
But defensively, and he's a really good passer.
That's
right?
The thing.
He's a guy I really like, Noah. Noah's always been a guy I've liked. I'd be a little bit surprised if the Lakers pursued him, considering that Rambis-Noah connection. I know you'd love that answer.
God. God damn it, Kirk. Go away. Isn't there like a porn site you could be following on Twitter? Good Lord. But yeah, the reason I liked Joakim Noah a lot for this kind of a situation is A, the passing, because mm-hmm. the Lakers now are devoid a passer. And now maybe this makes it so that Rondo like serves a purpose in a way that he didn't before. But
that's one way to look at it.
but again, like that's like saying, you know, I'm not even going to use the analogy. It's too dark of an analogy, but with this one, DeMarcus was going to be, I would say, the second best creator just about any time he was on the court, maybe even the best in some spots in like bench only lineups. And the Lakers are seriously going to miss that. And with somebody like Joakim Noah, like you can slot him in those spots a little bit more. The lack of spacing would hurt. The reason DeMarcus made a lot of sense alongside Anthony Davis was that, well, he could space the floor and Davis could focus on diving. You can't do that obviously with Noah. Here's my thing, though, and this is something I've been trying to find a somewhat delicate way of saying without coming off too kind of sports radio hot takey.
So, since when does that bother you?
Oh, I do not like the sports radio hot take guy.
I'm going to have to interview you on a happier day on your ethos for approaching this, because I thought that's what you were going for. But anyway, carry on.
No, not even a little bit. No, I'm just that guy at the bar who like way too many people were paying attention to. Like that's my brand. But with what the Lakers, or what I was trying to find a somewhat delicate way of saying was, you know, I'm kind of sick of hearing Anthony Davis talk about how, you know, he's focused on winning a championship. He's willing to do whatever it takes to win a championship, but I don't want to play the five. LeBron James, I'm focused on, you know, winning a championship. I came here to continue to win. I'm focused on doing all these things, but I don't want to play the four. And, you know, again, this is me trying to be delicate, but you can't have that both ways. What is very obviously the best thing for the Lakers right now is Davis to play the five, LeBron to play the four. And it's not like the gap between that and the next best option is Grand Canyon sized.
Yeah.
Multiple times over. And if you're actually
Go ahead. Let's take the delicacy off of it, right? Like, if they're serious about that, if they really mean that, then it's not a question.
Right.
Especially like you could make the argument. I made the argument that the best version of this team, in the best case scenario, had Boogie, AD, and LeBron all on the floor at the same time. Right.
That isn't the case now.
That's gone. And now Kuzma becomes all the more important.
Oh, God.
Right.
Okay.
Like Kuzma. Everything that he's talked about, everything who Kuz wants to be, that just took – like we need somebody to take a leap. And with the construction of the rest of the roster, who are the guys that have like untapped – who like aren't close to their ceiling or at it? It's Kuzma and what? Caruso? Caruso's not a third star type of guy, right? Like Kuzma's the one guy where you could say, hey, you know, if this goes well, if his defense, you know, and he keeps the scoring, his jumper falls, you can talk yourself into that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that, and I don't want to depend on that, but that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Right? We're not going to ask Danny Green to be the third star. He's a right. high-level role player.
We just talked about that.
Right. We just talked about this. So, like, and in this whole framework, that means AD's at the five, LeBron's at the four, and Kuz is at the three. Now, if you want to switch the two, I'm okay with that, depending on who they're defending. Yeah. But if it's a matter of, like, Kuzma's getting bodied by a Taj Gibson because LeBron doesn't want to play at the four spot, like, yeah. you know, if that's some game in January and it's right. not a big – but if we're scratching and clawing for a mid-level seed, like – basically what you're saying, like, if they're about it, then show me.
Yeah.
Show me. Because exactly. this is the obvious route that they need to go now.
Exactly. This is where, you know, you can say all these things that sound really cool and get fans all kinds of excited. But until you actually show me, until I stop hearing about how, you know, and it wasn't even something that, like, you're hearing through back channeling. Like, you aren't even necessarily hearing this through the grapevine. Anthony Davis sat up there and said, I don't want to play the five.
I was sitting like 10 feet away from him when he yeah. said that. I was surprised by how just like forward he was about right. it. Right? So
and then
there's the other thing, Anthony, like, he's a free agent next summer.
Yeah. Well, look,
we all know what the darkest timeline is, right?
It is the darkest timeline. But if this, like, this is the situation where you would hope that your superstar that you pay that amount of money to, that you're going to elevate by way of the Laker brand and the Laker platform that he is signing up for, like, their half of this deal is already done, right? He's already elevated. So if he's going to hold up his end of the bargain, this bullshit has to end. Like, that stuff has to go. If you're getting paid like max money and you're getting and the best version of yourself, and you aren't willing to offer up that best version of yourself because of the position that involves, then mm-hmm. you're not worth that max money. Like, then now, you know, and maybe that's something that the Lakers could have known a little bit more of before they went down this darkest timeline and put them in that situation where they could go down that darkest timeline. But that wasn't really an option. That was
you still trade for Anthony Davis, yeah. right? Like, I still maintain they gave up too much. But if you have the opportunity to trade for him, you still do it.
Yeah.
And the but the whole idea of this team being able to get to where they want to go with guys not being in their ideal positions at what they do best because they don't like it, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
We're not going to best the rest of the NBA by not putting our – like, we cannot fuck up around the margins anymore.
Yeah.
We cannot – for whatever reason, we need guys at their max level of effectiveness
yeah.
just to be in the conversation for where we want to go. Now, yeah. I don't want to sound like the sky is falling, but I also – I've been talking up Boogie for the last month.
I don't know, right? Man. A chunk just landed right outside my damn house. Like, that, I woke up to a chunk of sky outside my house this morning. Like, that was a pit. That this feels
it hurts.
Let's take a quick second here, because this feels a lot like something that happened back in that Dwight Mayer year that I've been reluctant to point to. But this feels a lot like that in a way that I wish it didn't. So let's come back to that here in a second. One of my ultimate what-ifs in sports that, like, I'll just go to the grave believing that things go differently if this doesn't happen is Steve Nash bumping into Damian Lillard in that preseason game, breaking his leg, and then that kind of setting the tone for the rest of the year because, mm-hmm. like, Nash was never anywhere near what he could, what the Lakers needed him to be. I think that set off the chemistry for that team because this guy who was seen as something close to a leader was now not able to lead by example on the court, mm-hmm. right? And that takes a hit. And, you know, finding out this about DeMarcus, even in a like the way that he got hurt sounds like a similar way too, right? He bumped right. knees with
the
somebody.
Contact, yeah.
Yeah. He bumped knees with somebody and tore his ACL. And God, I wish it didn't bring me back to those moments in that season, because I never ever want to go back to that season ever again. But when people say, like, I don't want to sound like the sky is falling, like a little, like a cloud just like landed outside my house. Like it's just like a little blue stuff, like outside my house here a bit. And what you said is perfect. The Lakers margin for error just absolutely shrunk. And what that mm-hmm. means for everybody is, you know, they're going to have to start the season from behind. They're starting this next year from behind, and you know, are they going to be able to do what it takes to make up for that gap? I don't know. What do you think is the – we've already talked about Kuzma. We've already talked about Anthony Davis and LeBron James and the things that they have to do in order to start to make up that gap. Is there anything else across the roster that you see, you know, other guys who need to step up here? Like, is JaVale McGee going to be capable of stepping into a larger role here? Is there a trade that they now have to make? Is anything like that? Do you see anything like that in the cards?
Well, let's talk about it from the perspective of if they do the thing that we want them to do, right? And have AD at the five and LeBron at the four. That's a really good team, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, you're right.
It was a chunk probably of sky their best have, team. Like,
yeah, right. And that may have been true. The closing five or the best five may have had Boogie on the bench. Now, I think that the best version would have been all three of them together hitting on all cylinders. Right. But the probably more likely outcome was, just from a defensive perspective, like, that's switchy, but it's still big with LeBron and AD. And then you've got two guys there, you know, they'll handle the majority of the ball handling, even AD. And I think AD, he's a guy that needs to step up now from a, I've had the belief that he has a untapped potential as a ball handler and shot creator that I think that we need to see more of that now in Boogie's absence, because Boogie would have been absorbing a lot of those responsibilities. But if you can run a lineup with LeBron, AD, and then 3-and-D guys, and then maybe Kuzma, right? So say those two, Kuzma, and then Danny Green, and say it's KCP is the fifth guy, right? So you go without a – LeBron is basically your point guard in that lineup. AD absorbs the secondary creator type of responsibilities. Then guys who can defend and knock down shots around them, like, that's a good team, man. Like, that may have been our closing five anyway. So to me, to answer your question, AD stepping up as a playmaker, if he has that untapped potential that I believe he has, this is the time to show it now.
Yeah, I mean, he was already going to be an MVP candidate. Like, I had him kind of penciled in as one of my, like, final five predictions. And now it's set up in a spot where he kind of has to be that if the Lakers want to reach the type of potential that people seem to think they're capable of. And now it's kind of scary here because, like, does AD want to carry that kind of a burden? Does he want to resign and have to carry that kind of a burden? That makes me a little nervous, but at the end of the day, too, like, the hit that AD would take by moving heaven and earth and dragging his name and Rich Paul's name through the mud in order to get to the Lakers and then get here and then leave because they wanted him to do what was best for the team and play the five a little bit more, that's a hit that I don't think very – like, we've already seen it with Dwight, right? Like, Dwight never really recovered after things kind of fell through with the Lakers the way that they did. When rumors came out after his meeting with the Lakers involved him demanding that they amnesty Kobe. Like, those, you can it's a double-edged sword here with the Lakers, where you might want the extra platform that comes with being a Laker, but if things don't end well and you had a large role playing in them not going well, yes, that puts the Lakers in the darkest timeline. But that also kind of really risks how you're viewed moving forward with the NBA's biggest and loudest fan base. So he can leave if he wants, you know, if he can leave for those reasons if he wants, but I don't think that would go very well for him.
Yeah, I still feel good about the Lakers' chances, just in terms of, you know, the other teams that have max cap space, right? There's a version of this that goes poorly, right? Like, what if LeBron's body stops? And I don't want to do the whole Chicken Little stuff, right? But like, what if LeBron's groin injury was the first of many, right? What if LeBron misses 20, 25 games? What kind of team are we now, right? Like, AD he played 70 plus games in each of the last three seasons, but he's a guy that he can get dinged up and miss a week or two here and there.
Anthony Davis.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's just, we need a lot of best case scenarios to happen this season. I really believe that. Like I said, the margin for error isn't great. And the, like, Kuzma steps up on defense, AD and LeBron stay healthy, AD absorbs more of the ball handling and shot creation type of stuff. One of the Avery Bradley, Alex Caruso, KCP trio blossoms into a starting caliber guard for us, right? We just need a lot in order for this to – now, this duo of LeBron James and Anthony Davis is – right up there with the best duos in NBA history. I really believe that you've got to have two players of that caliber.
NBA Jam, maybe best ever.
Right. That gets you. We're going to find out this year how far that gets you, because the rest of the roster, aside from fitting with those two skill set wise, which is important, there is not just that talent level from 3 through 12 now. Like, they're okay. If they're a championship team, it's going to be LeBron and Anthony Davis just doing absolutely incredible things. And the good news is they're capable of that. So we'll see. It just the on the margins, we're in a tough spot.
The last point I think that's worth kind of bringing up here, and I don't really like bringing it up because I don't like the pressure that this kind of puts on players inherently, but we have seen DeMarcus Cousins rush back on, maybe not even rush back, but get back either ahead of schedule or on schedule from these injuries. First the Achilles, he got back from that a little quicker than people would have probably predicted. He tore his quad and then played like a month later somehow. Maybe there's a timeline here where he comes back sooner rather than later. My question becomes, do I even want that of him, or do I even want to put that out into the universe? Because, like, we've already kind of seen Wilson Chandler, I believe, went out there and said, hey, this is the kind of thing, like, this string of injuries is the kind of thing when somebody comes back too soon from the first one, right? Get right and then come back. So, you know, maybe there's a timeline where he works his way back. But personally, and I don't, I would imagine you would agree with me on this one, Pete. Just get right, Boogie. Just get right, and take that last opportunity you might have to get. You know, you're not going to get a big deal, but you can still go out on your terms at the very least.
Yeah, absolutely. I want him to, you know, and you're asking a lot for him to come back. Kevin Pelton had an interesting piece today where he pointed out that nobody in the last 5 years has come back from an ACL in less than 11 months.
Yeah.
So if that maintains, especially, like you said, it's a compound thing. It's not just the ACL. That's after the quad. That's after the Achilles, all on the same leg.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned if he was even capable of it. But I do ultimately want him to get right. Right. By the time he'd be able to come back, he'd be so far behind anyway that he might not be that much of a help. But I just want him to, I don't know. I'm so sad. He has lost over $100 million in this easily.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
Well, it's why I always roll my eyes when people wonder why players don't take the most that they can, or when they hold it against players for taking the most that they can. Like, this is, we've seen it now twice. We've seen it with Boogie. We've seen it with Isaiah Thomas, right? The Lakers now have seen this up close and personal twice. What happens, you know, on the other side of these just devastating injuries. And, you know, if you've now watched the same thing twice, you shouldn't keep asking that question. Why do players keep taking the most that they can? Because they can. Because they do have access to that. You don't know when their access to those types of funds might go away. So the biggest thing here is just prayers and positive thoughts out there for DeMarcus. And I can't even imagine what his mindset is right now. I really hope he's okay. I really hope he has a great support system around him. I don't know him personally. I've never interacted with him. But everybody who has said that he's a good dude. So I really hope that this guy, you know, if he chooses to go the rehabilitation route and tries to come back to the NBA one day, best of luck on that route. If he decides to hang him up because another year of rehabbing only to potentially go through this all over again, if he goes the Bynum route, I totally understand where he's coming from there. And he's had an incredible career nonetheless, right? He's one of the most talented bigs I've ever seen. So we'll see how this all goes, man. But this just sucks, man. It just sucks. Have a great weekend. God. Have a great rest of your weekend. Get your questions in. If you guys have questions about how the Lakers respond to this, if you guys want to hear from Jen on what all might go on here with his recovery, I can bring her on as well. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you on Monday.